Well, alas, some might say, I'm not going to preach on the feeding of the 5,000 and the miracle of what the Lord did with those five loaves and two fishes, although the doctrine that we're going to look at today really has its greater context in that wonderful, wonderful miracle. Can you remember the first time that you ever heard that account of Jesus feeding 5,000 on that mountainside with a little boy's lunch? Can you remember the impression that it made upon you? If anything, it must have elevated your understanding of who Jesus is, who out of his own hands could break that bread and recreate and feed those rows and rows of 5,000 plus others. What a staggering miracle. And so the impression upon that crowd was phenomenal. Because this was not just theory. This was not just doctrine. This was not just bringing into the New Testament the light of the old. They ate the food. They ate the bread. They ate the fish. And they were there with large tummies, enjoying it all, till they could eat no more. Nobody could doubt the amazing miracle. And then the 12 baskets, well, that's just the way the Lord does things. Everything gets tidied up, and there just happened to be a full basket by each of the disciples that were distributing and regathering. But my text today is in verse 63. It says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Here we have the doctrine of regeneration. Here you have the word quickeneth, which simply means to give life to the dead, to bring life out of the grave, to give heavenly life to a dead soul. Now, I want to ask you, which of the two following examples is proper for regeneration? The school principal walking the schoolyard and saying to the boys and girls, now remember the rules and remember the good name of your school. Or the preacher going into the graveyard and preaching to the dead, calling them to walk in the newness of life. Which of those two examples would you say best describes the miracle of regeneration? Well, the answer to that will determine whether you are a liberal or whether you are orthodox in your doctrine. If you think that man can change his life by his own power, by merely following the rules of men, it ain't gonna happen. But if you believe that Jesus Christ came into the world, the bread of heaven, to give life and satisfaction, grace, joy, and fullness of life, there is the gospel at work. One is the semi-Pelagian view that there is at least some little bit of good in the heart of man. The other, the preacher in the graveyard preaching to the dead, is the view that there is just nothing left. Man is bankrupt spiritually and is dead in his sins. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 will back that up, for it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, the Holy Spirit, we are told here, is the life giver. Quickening is the work of life giving. Regeneration is like planting seed in the soil. and we might boast about the richness of the soil, of how we dug it, how we tilled it, how we fertilized it, how we watered it. But if the seed has no germinating life, you're not going to have any crop whatsoever. And likewise, there needs to be this new life planted in the heart of man. Now, this work of regeneration, of course, is attributed to the third person of the Trinity. It is the Spirit that giveth life, the Lord Jesus said. And it is the necessary part of our redemption. Because God the Father could plan our redemption. God the Son could go all the way to the cross and purchase our redemption. But if we are left dead in soul, in love with sin, with no interest in the cross, all of it bypasses us, and we are no whit better. We need a miracle to open our eyes, to give us life, to look unto Jesus, and to plead the victory of Calvary in our own lives. Now, we do not pretend to understand the miracle of regeneration, because it is a miracle. Just as we don't understand how when you plant wheat in the soil, that corn of wheat dies and brings forth a new crop. That is the power of resurrection life. Now, we can say that once we loved sin, but now we love our God. That once we were in love with the world, but now we delight in those things concerning the kingdom and concerning the grace of the Lord Jesus. And the best proof of regeneration is a living convert. One who was once dead to God, living for the world, but now the opposite, a new creature. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. Now, how fascinating this is. This turns the Christian life from a mere set of rules and the humdrum of principles, do this, do that, legalism and all the other, into the life-giving work of the living Lord Jesus, because He is alive. He rose from the dead. And if He is risen, He is able to cause that spiritual resurrection within hearts to bring men out of the love of sin into a new life in Christ Jesus. Now, this is also the hope of Canada. As we all lament, the slide and downgrade into the vilest of sins in this country that are not just committed, but they are paraded. That they are not only tolerated, but they are promoted in every quarter. We wonder, is there any hope for this nation? Well, here is hope. Because the God who elects sinners to eternal life, sent His Son to the cross, will not leave it up to individuals. They shall be called, regenerated, brought to faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, in the time we have today, I want us to look at this whole miracle, this operation of the Spirit in regeneration. And I want us to look at the regeneration of the Spirit works independently. And you know, that really is the hope of it all. Because if it was left up to you and me, where would we be today? If we even had to cooperate in this, if we had to do our part in this, where would we be? But the Holy Spirit works independently. I quoted Ephesians 2:1, it is the Spirit that giveth life. Ye that were dead in trespasses and in sins, He quickeneth. But there is a passage in Ezekiel 37. It's the vision of the valley of dry bones. And it's really an army that has fallen, and their corpses have rotted, their sun-burnt skeletons are lying in the wilderness. And suddenly, by the breath of God, this army comes alive. That's a strange picture. But it is a great illustration of the miracle of regeneration. And if you read that in Ezekiel 37, verse 5, and we're told, "So I commanded as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." That is the vision of the valley of dry bones, that by the breath of the Spirit were made to live. Now this is where we draw the difference between the Spirit quickening and what we call the new birth. The baby has to have life before it is born. We all understand that the gestation period from conception to birth is 9 months. And so when we speak of the baby being born, and we often liken that to being born again, we realize that that baby had life at conception. And so regeneration is like the conception of the child in the womb. When that new life comes together and begins to develop as an embryo in the womb, and then one day it is born. And we speak of being born again, but there is the miracle of life that is planted within the soul. Now, the Spirit works independent of any desire in us. Look at John 6:44. Just take a look at that little verse there, John 6:44. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up." No man will and no man can, because he's dead. Dead in sin. There's total inability. No one ever requested to be resurrected or regenerated. And it's not the case that any number of people are going around wishing that they could be born again. Have you ever met someone like that? Did you meet someone like that this week? Who came to you, "I wish I was born again. I wish I was regenerated. I wish I had a miracle of new life in me." No, it's the opposite. People run from it. People despise it. People call it foolishness and odd and weird. And if you tell someone that you have been born again, they will think that odd. And so this miracle is the independent work of the Spirit. "That which is of the flesh profiteth nothing." And so here is a miracle that is the work of the Spirit, independent of our doing. In John 3:8, it talks about the wind blowing. "We cannot tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. It is the secretive, it is the sovereign moving of the Spirit of God." So would you take a moment right now as a Christian and say, "Lord, I just want to thank you that while I was a corpse dead in sin and iniquity, while I was living for this world, that you independently, by the Holy Spirit, came and regenerated my heart. And I know that I have been born of God. If you've been born of God, you can't not know it. And you can't but show it. There is a newness, a resurrection life within your heart. Now, regeneration, the Spirit also works instantaneously. In an instant, just like that. It's not a process. You're either living or you're dead. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, and that sin meant him to be driven out, he was either in or out. And he, as a fugitive, was out and away from God. When you are born again and you are regenerated, you are either outside of God or you are in the new life that is in Christ Jesus. And so it's called a new creation. All things pass away, all things become new. Now, creation work is the work of an instant. When the Lord created the world, he simply said, "Let there be light," and there was light. I know it took 6 days for God to create the world, but each part of it, just by his word, came into being. It was an instantaneous miracle of his power. And when God, by his Spirit, desires and designs, and he effects that effectual call of the gospel, you are born in an instant. Let there be light. And that light of the gospel shines into the heart of the sinner's soul. And there would be no coming forth to show new life if that new life was not planted there first. So again, take a moment and just say, "Thank you, Lord, that in a certain hour, a certain moment, indeed, there was an instant of time when by your word you spoke and I was born of God." That's the instantaneous nature of the miracle. Now, it is called a resurrection of the soul. Let's go back to John 5, verse 21. We looked at this a little last week. "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Now, when you see the word quickeneth, think resurrection, think regeneration, think the birth of new life, born again, and that new life enters in. And so regeneration is an act. It is an act of God. And it is an instantaneous work. And so a sinner can be on the road to hell one day, and he can be saved and on the way to heaven the same day. Praise God for a gospel like this. There is not another religion in the world that proclaims the message of instantaneous, miraculous, new birth, regeneration. This is the gospel. This is what Christ came into the world to effect. And I believe it because Jesus himself is alive. If there was no empty tomb, no miracle of the resurrection, no ascension, how could I preach a doctrine like this? If my Savior was still in the gloom of the tomb, how could I preach the hope of regeneration to sinners? But here is the living Christ at work to send his Spirit to turn men to himself. Now, it's also true to say that there is no reversal of regeneration. And this is another amazing fact. There is no such thing as you are born again today and you lose it tomorrow. You are not made a child of God by grace, by the power of the Holy Ghost, to have it all reversed in a little time to come. Now we can stumble and fall. We can be a Peter who even deny the Lord. We can be as others who fell into sin and needed to be recovered and restored. And of course, every day, really, God is doing a restoration work in every one of us. Are there not days when we are prayerless and careless? Are there not times when we have lost our song? Are there not times when we don't witness and tell others of Jesus as we used to do? And then when we are down and we say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. And the light comes back and the joy enters and there's restoration of life and there's a pick-me-up power in our souls. And that is grace at work. The new birth. We are born again, and it's irreversible. Now, in regeneration, the Spirit works individually. Regeneration is the personal operation of the Spirit on the individual. Now, while in revival times, and we read of those, where multitudes were converted in a close period of time, great events, great evangelism, and there were many converts. But even it is with crowds around, when the Lord saves your soul, it is God dealing with you individually and personally. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and the Lord dealt with him one to one. Lydia, while Paul went to preach at the riverside where prayer was wont to be made known and where the women gathered for prayer, Lydia, the Lord opened her heart. It does not say it, the Lord opened anyone else's heart, just Lydia. And so it's individual. It is not by the congregation or the community or the masses, but by the individual. And so everyone needs to ask this, am I born again? Have I this new life? Has this miracle taken place in my heart? And of course, it has to happen in the first generation of Christians, but it equally has to happen in the next generation and the third generation on down the line. And we are now living in the 21st century, and the miracle is still the same, and it is still the individual that needs to be born of the Spirit. That's the individual nature of this new birth. And so we need to be praying for our children. Do not think that this runs in the blood, the bloodline or the heritage or the tradition. It must be an individual miracle in the hearts of each hearer of the word. And we need to be asking our children, are you born again? We need to be praying for the generation growing up today that they will have this light of the gospel. We tremble for the influences that are upon their hearts. We think of kids going to public schools and arenas where they are being poisoned with the devil's lies. But the grace of God can reach them. And even children can be drawn to faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, it's individual in each believer, and it's uniform in each believer. There are elements of this new birth that are the same. It is the same miracle per person. It is this planting of life within the heart. When wheat is planted in the field, the seeds produce wheat. When the tares are planted in the field, the tares produce weeds. And so when the Holy Spirit is born in the heart of men and you are regenerated, quickened unto life, there's going to be the new life evidenced. There's going to be a new walk, a new talk. There's going to be a new desire for communion with God, for prayer. When Paul was converted Ananias was sent to him, and the Lord assured him, "Behold, he prayeth." And that's the sure mark that you've been born of God. You have now not only a God awareness and a God consciousness, but you've got a burden for real communion in prayer. You will be a praying man and a praying woman. You will want to enter into communion with God. I can remember in the first throes of my Christian life, my bedroom became my worship center. I say this to encourage you. I say this because it's true. I say this because it enabled me to know that I was born of God. Prior to conversion, I could use Jesus' name as a swear word. But when I was born of the Spirit, I was using that name in prayer. In the old Scottish church, they would never allow anyone to become a member of the church upon profession of faith without hearing them pray. That's the test. That's the mark that you've been born of the Spirit. And it's true over and over without exception. If you tell me today I'm not a praying man or woman, I don't know how to pray, can I accept your profession of faith? I remember in the first years I was in Canada, I was talking with a real estate agent. We were actually involved in the sale of our little church in Grosvenor Road in North Surrey at the time. And we didn't end up going through this man, but he claimed to be a Christian. And so I said, well, then let's pray about this. And so we got sitting there in the seats of the church, and I prayed, and I said, now you pray. Well, he couldn't pray. And he didn't pray. And I began to worry about what kind of Christian profession is this. It would be a great tragedy if we have Christian upon Christian in the church and we don't hear them pray. That's the mark of the new birth. In regeneration, the Spirit works immediately or directly. When you hear a theologian use the word immediate, it means there's no in-between mediator, there's no agent, there's no halfway two-person ambassador or anyone else. It is the Spirit of God moving directly upon the spirit of man, directly or immediately. And that means it is the direct work of the Spirit upon the human heart. As some may say, but I thought God uses the witness of the church. It has to be somebody somewhere doing something to bring this message, to bring that person to faith in the Lord Jesus. Well, I've been preaching long enough now that you can preach for years to a person without them ever being born again. And it has to be the direct work of the Spirit, taking that word and making it to be gospel seed within the heart. Now the Lord uses his word, and he creates faith through the word, and we are born again by the word, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1. But the birthing can only take place by the direct work of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Lydia, when she was at the riverside, she was born again, while others seemed to be bypassed. Now, I have a whole number of texts here that I could preach to you today on this. Jeremiah 24, I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall turn unto me with their whole heart. Ezekiel 36, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. That's the new birth experience. That's the miracle of the new birth. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Another thing, this work of the Spirit, he works imperceptibly. He calls men to life, to come forth. like Lazarus. No, that's my next point. Sorry, I'm going ahead here. The next point is irresistibly. I can't preach that yet. I got to go backtrack here a little bit. John 3:8, imperceptibly. That's where the wind bloweth, and we cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. Can you remember when you were born again? Not always. But there is a new God awareness. There is a new starting to think about God and to start to think about your sin. The Holy Spirit's work in regenerative is secretive. It could take place in the womb, like John the Baptist. He was born of the Spirit right in his mother's womb. God can work by his power directly. And of course, he can work in the heart of a little child. Or he can work in the heart of the aged. I don't promote deathbed conversions. But in great grace, there are those who have been converted at the midnight hour of life. And by a mighty, amazing miracle, have been brought to faith in the Lord Jesus. Now we come to the irresistibly. And the example of that is Lazarus in the grave, when the Lord stood there and he called Lazarus and he said, "Come forth." And he wrestled with the grave clothes and the Lord said, "Loose him and let him go." And here was a man in the grave 4 days and four nights, and the others were complaining, "By now he stinketh. How can we even touch this?" But Lazarus came forth by irresistible power, and he lived in the power of a new life. That's the miracle of regeneration. The soul that is born again laments that he was not saved sooner. He laments that he falls along the way, but he will not look back and regret that he was born again. Never. But we praise God for that new life that we have in Christ Jesus. I wanted to finish as quickly as I could today because I found something that really blessed my own soul. This is "Ye Must Be Born Again" by D.L. Moody. And I'll only read to you a short section of it. And I hope it does to you what it did to me when I read this. He says, "I was 20 years old before I ever heard a sermon on regeneration. I was always told to be good, but you might as well tell a black man to be white as to tell him to be good without telling them how. You might tell a slave to be free, but that would not make him free. Christ not only tells us to be free, he frees us. We are a bad lot, the whole of us by nature. It is astonishing how the devil blinds us and makes us think we are so naturally good. Don't talk to me about people being naturally good and angelic. We are naturally bad, the whole of us. The first man born of a woman was a murderer. Sin leaped into the world full grown, and the whole race has been bad all the way down. Man is naturally bad. Man has lost the image of God. Take just one description that Christ gives of the human heart. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile the man. Now I want to ask you, how in the world can you get a pure stream when you have an impure fountain? It isn't patching up the old man that is needed, but it is hewing down that tree and putting a new graft in. It is an entire change, a new creation. I have heard of reform, reform, until I'm tired and sick of the whole thing. It is regeneration by the power of the Holy Ghost that we need. You may whitewash a pest house, but it will be a pest house still. The new birth isn't good resolutions or good intentions or turning over a new leaf or making promises or vows. That isn't the new birth at all. Perhaps some of you say, what is it? Well, listen, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To become a partaker of the divine nature is the greatest blessing that can come to any man this side of heaven. God has been very, very good to me. It has just been blessing upon blessing. But there is one blessing that just towers high above them all. There is one blessing that came to me one night. I remember the night. It was in a shoe store in Boston. I never go to Boston, but I don't go around and take a look at that place where God met me and imparted to me a new nature. All things passed away that night. A new life dawned upon me, and that is the greatest blessing that has ever come to me this side of heaven. I got God's nature, a new nature, distinct and separate from the old nature. I would doubt my existence as quick as I would doubt that fact. If you are not sure that you've become a partaker of the divine nature, don't eat, drink, or sleep until you get that new nature. And when you get that new nature, it is easy to serve God. He isn't a hard master. In India, the swan is considered a sacred bird. They have a legend there that one day an old crane came out of the beach looking for snails, and down came a big white swan. The crane stretched out its great long neck and said to the swan, "Where have you come from?" The swan said, "He came from heaven." "Heaven," said the crane, "I never heard of that place. Is it far away?" "Oh, yes." "Is it a good country?" "Oh, yes." "Is it better than this?" "Oh, far better." And the swan went on expatiating how heaven, about its lakes and its rivers and its fountains, and its climate. And the old crane stood there listening, and when the swan got through, said, "Have they any snails there?" The swan drew itself up and said, "No, vile things. They wouldn't have them in heaven." "Well then," said the crane, "you can have your heaven. I don't want it. I want snails." And so the illustration is made that we need a new heart desperately. We need to be born again from above if we're one day going to be above. And I leave this with you today. Are you born again? Have you been changed from the inside out? A new creature. All things have passed away and all things have become new. Are you praying, living in fellowship with God? May the Lord bless his people and save you today if you're not a Christian. And if I can help you, please come and speak with us.